Hi, I'm Ashley Eicher.
I'm Hunter Kelly.
And welcome to an all-new episode of the All Our Favorite People podcast. Today we have, I feel like I say this every time we have some very special guests, but I just get excited when our friends are in here and we're having these great conversations.
I know. It's Katie Cook and her husband, Adam Schoenfeld. You know Katie from CMT.
Yes, she's been at CMT for 16 years, which is incredible. To me, she's the face of CMT along with Cody Allen. And she is one of the sweetest people, so incredibly talented. She hosts Hot 20, as well as a lot of other programming for CMT, so that's probably where you know her from. And then her husband, Adam, actually has played guitar on all the Aldean records.
He's an in-demand session. Aldean. Yeah, he's an in-demand session guitarist here in town. So they have actually teamed up. They're both musicians. Katie is actually a singer-songwriter as well.
Yeah, I was in a band for a long time and has fronted her own band. So
yeah,
this is, it's not like it's something new here.
It's not something new, but they have a new band called Suncat.
Yes.
And their song, Hey JoJo, is so special. So Katie's big sister, Joanne, passed away earlier this year, and this song just poured out of that loss, but also it was really a gift. It's really a special, special story. So we talk about that at the towards the end of the podcast because we knew we were going to get really emotional.
Which we did.
Yes.
I think for me, sitting back and listening to this conversation, especially for both you and Katie, and we learned Adam as well, had all lost siblings. At different times, you and Katie both in the past year, and then Adam, I think he said when he was 11.
Yeah.
So it made me really, I think, grateful to still have my brother, but just it reminds me to be thankful for what I have, and then listening to your stories and just cherishing those memories you have with your siblings and us being able to talk about it, and hopefully it provides another place for each of you to have a friend that understands where you are. And for anyone listening at home that's lost someone, you know, hopefully this touches you and gives you a little hope and comfort as well.
That conversation is towards the end. There's also just a lot of great conversation about Katie as a, you know, a interviewer, media figure, and just all around fun person. And
well,
Adam,
she's not
as well.
Used to being interviewed, so it was really fun to just
turn the tables.
To turn those tables on her.
Right.
So without further ado,
here it is, our conversation with Adam and Katie.
What's not to love? What's not to love?
Oh my gosh, so welcome to the show, you guys.
Hi.
Thank
it's great
you.
To have the two of you. So, wait, this is your first interview together?
Yeah.
As a band, as Suncat.
As a band,
this is
Suncat.
Your first interview
it is.
Together.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. So go easy on us because we're, you know, a little nervous.
Oh my gosh.
Not used to talking about ourselves.
But you're a pro.
I'm a pro at asking you guys questions about yourself.
Now it's time to dig deep, Katie.
Oh my God.
We're turning the tables.
You're turning the tables.
Scare, hold my hand, Adam.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Where did the name Suncat come from? The naming of the band. That's got to...
Well, yeah, it's a mashup of our nicknames.
Yeah.
So I started calling Adam Sunny, like probably by our third date, because he's my sunshine.
Mm.
He brings happiness and sunny to my life. And then Cat, short for Katie, but he's the one who came up with Suncat.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Just actually, I think it just popped out into my brain one day. You know, I thought it was kind of 70s sounding and kind of fit us.
Yeah, we're kind of obsessed with all things 70s. And
yes.
Yeah, as soon as he said it, I was like, oh my God, that's it.
It's
like,
perfect.
He's a genius.
I'm a child of the 80s that wishes I was a child of the 70s.
Wow.
I mean, there was some great music that came out of both. Yeah.
More in the 70s than the 80s, but you know.
Oh,
there's definitely some good
stuff. You don't embrace the synthesizer.
I do.
Neon socks.
I embrace it.
Yeah.
There's some I embrace that she would vomit about, so we're not going to talk about that for more.
Well, because I know that you guys, there's a lot of different influences I pull on this music. Like,
sure.
I feel like there's some... Janis Joplin isn't where I was going. Who was I trying to think of then?
I heard so much Beatles.
So much Beatles,
like,
yes.
So, of course, they're omnipresent in everything.
Yeah. Well, I don't know many people that don't have an influence from the Beatles.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, too. As I was doing more research on Adam, just because I really have only known you because of my friendship with Katie. So it was really fun to kind of dig in because you've had this pretty incredible career in the music business.
I've been very blessed, yeah.
Mississippi Girl, I did love that song. From Faith Hill.
Yeah, that was a shocker for me, a beautiful surprise. You know, that was really, really a highlight, life-changing. So, Yeah, I couldn't believe that when it happened. John and I wrote that song and the whole way from bottom to top, from I just played it for Faith and she loved it to she's recording it every step of the way. I said, whatever, it's not happening, too. Yeah. It's going to be her first single, too. It's going to be number one. It was pretty amazing.
And well, you play guitar on a lot of records in town, too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like all the Aldean stuff. All that, yeah. You know, most of the lead guitar and, you know, Kurt and I both play when we track. Kurt Allison and I will play the main guitars together. He's usually left side in the mix. I'm usually right side, but then I'll stay and I'll add stuff or, you know, on a rare occasion, if one of us didn't quite hit the mark, we figure it out later. I might replace one of our parts that we did. But, you know, so it's usually a good mix of him and I and a little extra me. You know, so
a little extra me. And how does that work out here in recording, you know, with Katie, you know, as a husband and wife and as a duo? Do you just go, here's more Katie, but then there's a little bit more me?
It's all me and I let her sing on it. No.
And then when he goes to bed at night, I come down to the studio and I mix with the levels again. No, you know what? It was kind of a shock for us when we, obviously when you put two writers together dating, you know, you're going to end up writing together. And I think initially our first couple songs, we were like, yeah, this is cool. Who should we pitch it to? And then a few more songs in, we were kind of like, wait, I really like singing with you. Like that, we had no idea that was going to happen. And we have both fronted projects before, but there was something about singing together. It kind of bolstered us. It's like we felt a lot stronger vocally when we put our voices together. And I don't know. I think now we almost feel a little bit strange if the other one isn't singing all the way through the song with us. Like I find what we've been writing lately, it's like, well, let's just sing together from the top of the song. It just feels really good. And I've never had that experience before.
Well, and I think if you don't mind me saying, I mean, you know, I'm no Ronnie Dunn as a vocalist and she's no Trisha Yearwood, but you put us together and we just found this cool thing. And I think we both have been singers, but not like singers. We're people that have a cool sound or a voice and can carry a melody. But you put us together and it's kind of made us.
It became its own thing. You know? And that was a beautiful surprise for us.
Yeah.
I'm interested to know, Katie. So everybody that knows you in country music really knows you as the face of like a CMT. You're on the red carpet. So is there something mentally you have to get over to like do this new role or have people see you as a musician as well? Because it's kind of like, you know, people kind of wonder like, well, are you a journalist? Are you a musician? You know, kind of thing. It's a divide I wonder about because I love to sing as well. And I'm just,
yeah, you got a great, you both have good voices.
We're working on some backup for some people currently.
There's a record on the way. That's a really fair question. I'll break it down into a few things. First of all, I hope it's not weird for people to see me as a singer because that can be strange when you've seen somebody in another role, like whenever an actor all of a sudden puts a record out and you're like, no, you know, it can be a little weird. And I hope it's natural for people. Obviously, it helps a little bit that what I've been doing on TV has always been music related. So at least there's that connection. The honest answer is I've had to learn all these years to try and think like a journalist first because I started in music and I kind of fell into the CMT gig. I wouldn't say by accident. I still had to go to the audition and try to make it happen. But I had a record deal. I had a publishing deal. I was 100% focused on my music career and my band broke up. Yeah. And all of a sudden I was scrambling like, oh, okay, maybe I'm a solo artist now. I don't know. And I still have my deal, but I had no money. And I didn't really know what to do. And I heard about the CMT auditions and I thought, well, that keeps me in music. If I get hired, which I doubt I will, but I'll probably be there 6 months and I'll you know, I won't miss a beat in my music career. Obviously, that didn't happen. I missed a huge beat in my music career.
Right. You've now been in CMT how long?
16 and a half years.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
So I have spent all these years, I still think I approach interviews from an artist mind first, like trying to put myself in the artist's shoes. And same. I have to remember to step back and go, what would a journalist do right now? So I'm not knocking myself. I think I've learned to do it. But I guess all that to say, I've never had to switch back into musician mode. Mm-hmm. So this is still probably a more natural state of mind for me.
Yeah.
Does that answer the question?
It does. Yeah.
What I want to hear about too is just your career. Like, you've interviewed so many people over the last 16 years, and you are one of the faces that everybody knows and loves. What have been some of the favorite moments for you over the years? Like, are there a couple you just go back to?
Well, I'm sure you will agree with me when I say this. Dolly.
I still haven't interviewed Dolly, so I'm
you haven't?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh my gosh, we need to make that happen because she would love you. But I mean, Hunter, back me up here. Like, the nobody's gonna give you a better day than Dolly.
It's like there's even if and she would have us come to some events like really early in the morning, like 7:30, 8 o'clock call time because she I think gets up at 4. But it's worth it. Like, she's the one. It's the electric energy when she walks into the room and everybody.
The energy changes. Mm-hmm. I actually have a friend who said the first time he met Dolly, he felt her first. He had his back to the door, and all of a sudden he felt all the energy in the room change. And he turned around and he's like, "Yeah, she's here." Every time I'm around her, I learn more about how to conduct myself in the entertainment business, how to handle people, how to be gracious and professional. And she's just hilarious and beautiful, and absolutely adore her. I've always loved interviewing Blake Shelton. I mean, he's just so cool. And then I
wish he'd get some personality.
I know, it's a shame.
Bless his heart. You know,
it's a shame.
Somebody's got to work with him, but he'll get there.
Oh my gosh. The first time I met him was in the elevator at the Opry, and he walks in. And of course, you know, he could barely fit in the elevator. He's huge. And he looks at me, he goes, "Well, hi, Katie Cook. You're the girl who's made fun of my mullet on TV. Nice to meet you." And I was just like, and here we go. And we've always had the best relationship. He's always been able to make fun of himself, and he's so funny. But I love the job. It's taken me around the world, and I've met all kinds of wonderful people, and it's how I know you guys. And it's just I feel part of a really special community. I'm very, very blessed.
We really are a part of a really special community.
It really is a great community, and that's why we wanted to have y'all on here. So let's just dive in. Katie, your sister Joanne passed away earlier this year.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
And tell me about her.
Oh, Joanne. Gosh, where do I start? She's very special. She was my big sister. Okay. As I got a little older, I used to refer to her as my big little sister because she kind of needed a little extra looking out for. John was born with a disability. Now you would say IDD, intellectual developmental disability. Joanne was the most joyful, sweetest person that I've ever had in my life. Very much lived in the moment, in the now, and was never negative about anything. And she was the glue of our family. And unfortunately, she did have a lot of health issues through the years. And she was diagnosed with lung cancer. Well, first she had congestive heart failure. Mm-hmm. And then very quickly afterwards, we found out she had lung cancer, and it was already stage 4. We had no idea. Mm-hmm. And she was only given a few weeks to live. They said if she did chemo that she might survive 6 months. Well, she lived 5 years.
Wow. Oh, wow.
I mean, there's all different kinds of chemo that obviously everybody responds to it differently, and there's many different levels, but hers was pretty hardcore, but she never lost her beautiful attitude. She was never scared. You know, Joanne just had a very special frame of mind, always very joyful. And I learned a lot from watching her go through that. She did pass away earlier this year, but she came to me in a dream a couple days after her service. And she was just glowing in the dream. She was beautiful and radiant. She told me she made it there. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, did it take a long time? And she said, yeah, a few days. And she rolled her eyes. She said, it took a few days, but I'm here now. And she just looked radiant. And I woke up and I just rolled over and I was like, I've just dreamt about JoJo, and she's there and she's great. And I feel so relieved and happy. And I said, we should write that song, Hey JoJo. And of course, that just sounds Beatlesy, you know, that title. And he just got right in there, got on the piano and started playing this. And honestly, I didn't even get out of my robe. I just, we had the song written in an hour. And one of her favorite things to say was, "What's not to love?" You know, if you'd be like, "Oh, I love that movie. What's not to love?" Or, "Oh."
She said it a lot about me too.
Oh, she did. Yeah. She did. I love my Adam. What's not to love? Oh, yeah, she did say that.
I think
about
she
you.
Loved me more than anybody ever has.
That's true. She was a big fan.
So we
wrote the song, and the hook is, you know, what's not to love, and it's all about. Yeah, she sees the world differently, and some people couldn't always relate to her state of mind, but in our opinion, she got it right. She saw the world the way we should all see it. And so the song was written very quickly. My brother was over here from England. He's a drummer, so we had him come in and put the drums down. My father lives in Franklin, and we had him come sing backup. Yeah. And my mother sat there almost all day just watching the whole thing happen. We have a studio in our house, so we just went right downstairs and got to it. So we ended up with this song, Hey JoJo. And it truly felt like a gift. It was like this awesome download from above. And so our attitude was, well, we need to make it a gift. And we contacted the ARC, who work with individuals with IDDs from birth to the end of their life. And they really support the whole family and the siblings. They have so many wonderful programs. And our big passion is helping adults with IDDs find housing and learn to live independently. And that's something I really want to focus on. And the ARC helps with that as well. So we just felt like, let's find a way to make this song a gift for them. So the downloads, every time you download the song, the money is going straight to the ARC. And we're going to do that for an entire year. So we've
which is incredible.
A whole year to hustle up some attention. And we just finished the music video, which is going to be available now on YouTube. And we want help spreading the word. We want this to touch people the way Joanne touched our lives.
And the way she changed your life.
You know, side note, if I can, the whole experience of doing that song with her brother there and her father and her mother, you know, sometimes you don't realize a situation is healing everybody. Mm-hmm. But I was sitting there at the computer recording her brother, and I knew it. I was like, this is the most amazing thing I think I've ever been a part of. It was the most healing experience. I just knew. I could just feel it. I felt the whole energy. And the fact that you all were in the room, and of course there's family members that weren't there, but, you know, for the root, you know, this was the root of their family when they were kids, you know.
Yeah.
And it was pretty powerful.
When I just think about the gift of, you know, having her service be several days before, and it's been this long journey for your family of, I can imagine some really challenging times and then some just beautiful times just because of who Joanne was and is, and the way you said, like, she looked at life. So I can only imagine just sitting there, and it just so happens that several days later, while your brother's still in town from England, both of your parents are there, and just getting to have this moment together. What did that really mean to you?
It, like Adam said, it was totally healing. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to cry my false lashes off now. Not cool.
I already cried while you were telling the story. So. It's
fine. Totally healing. And I think, I'm going to try and say this without completely breaking down, she was our glue. And so I think we were all slightly nervous when she passed that we would forget to be glued together. And somehow this song was her reminding us that we still have each other, I think. And when we were all singing in that room together, I just thought, yeah, she's going to keep us together. And this is a great example. And she slapped us upside the head with it pretty hardcore just a couple days after the service. She's like, hello, I'm still here. Go do this. And it was just beautiful. And yeah, looking at my father and my mother and my brother. And you know, it sounds crazy, but none of us were even crying that day. We were like so joyful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And honestly, this is the first time I think I've seen you cry since then. And a couple months had gone by, and I remember you saying that moment kind of took care of the mourning. Like you felt like you
away.
Didn't have to mourn.
It really did. And I think I'm crying now more just, I'm so touched by it.
Yeah.
It's less sadness. I really feel like she's with me. I swear. Sometimes I still think I hear her voice saying little things like, you can do it. You can do it. I still hear her all the time. And yeah, there was something just what you said then about having all of us sitting together and how healing it was.
It was
that just really touched me because it was beautiful.
What are some of your favorite memories of your sister?
JoJo, oh my gosh.
Like, whether it says kids or just growing up, like, what's a couple of your favorite memories of her stories?
She cuddled me a lot when I was really little. I have some photographs of her just holding me. And that's really, that's so sweet, because I guess as we got older, our roles reversed a little bit. You know, I would drive her around. I would make sure she had social things to go do, or I'd bring her to parties with me, with my friends, because her friends couldn't drive. Or we were best buds. We shared a bedroom, you know, almost my entire life, you know, yeah. until I was like 12 years old or something. She literally was in the bed right next to me, and we would giggle. We couldn't fall asleep because we would giggle. There was one time I was, we were flying back from England. My family's all from England, and we used to go over there a lot. She and I were on a plane by ourselves coming back, and we were, of course, sitting next to each other. I wouldn't let her out of my sight hardly ever. And we got giggling about something, and I'm not kidding you, for about 5 hours on this flight, one of us would finally stop and the other one would start. And when Joanne giggled, it was silent. You would just see her shoulders shaking up and down, and tears would just shoot out of her eyes when she was giggling. And we were both needing to sleep on the flight home, and we couldn't stop laughing. And little things like that, I think, stand out the most. She was so jolly. I think jolly is the best word for Joanne, totally. Honestly.
Wow. So, so my brother passed away last year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And
I'm
sorry. So his music collection now lives, like, all his vinyl. He's a vinyl collector. So it's like all this classic country music is now in my house. That's his record player over there. Those were speakers. So I have a few questions, because I totally have been through what you're going through right now. And it's weird on many levels, but I think for us as creative people, you kind of know that this, your grief, there's going to be a creative mm-hmm. outlet out of it. Did you have a feeling before Hey JoJo came that something would come of this creatively?
Yeah. You know, that's absolutely. I thought I'm going to find, like, one of the best songs I or we will ever write will come out of this Joanne situation. I knew that, but I had no idea what form it would take, really, mm-hmm. what the words would be. And I trusted that it would hit me one day. But I can honestly tell you, it still blows my mind what came through. And and how pure it was, and how much it felt like she was behind it, like just giving us the words. It's one of the easiest songs we've ever written. So I knew it would come eventually, but the form it took, and how quickly it came, and how powerful it was, and how easy it was, I don't think I gave her the credit, knowing that she was going to be the gift giver. You know, that, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Have you had your moment yet where it's come through?
Where it's come through. I've done a lot of writing. So my brother, he struggled with mental illness and drugs. So it was, you know, just like Tom Petty and Prince, it was a fentanyl overdose that he didn't know. It's very complicated. There's a lot of emotions, but the music, the country music, his love of classic country, it was so funny, because I go and interview all these people, and you know, and he wouldn't give a crap about them, except, you know, because he was just like, loved like all the old school stuff. So I think I've seen that go forward. And I've also just seen like the weird part of myself, maybe, that, you know, the weird way of looking at the world that he had. And, you know, there's certain things like on Instagram that I would share only with him. I think it's just to really allow that to show that side of myself, and also mm-hmm. to carry on like things that mattered to him. You know, I feel like a part of him lives on through me in being weird, and also caring about the things that he cared about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And weird is good.
Yeah. Weird stay is weird. So good. Yeah, stay weird. I know.
Hashtag
stay yeah. weird. Ashley, am I doing okay in that department?
Yeah, hon. Yeah. You're fine.
Good.
You're, trust me.
Top of the heap.
No, but I just, you know, so I resonate with so many of the things that you're saying. Yeah. And,
you know, I feel like people have a lot of misconceptions about people with developmental disabilities. Like, mm-hmm. what do you hope, and just, you know, you have a platform to be able to talk about this. You have a platform to be able to talk about your sister and to open people's eyes in a really beautiful way. Yeah. What do you hope people learn?
Well, I think we have come a long way, but yeah. I do think we have a long way to go. I think the most important thing, we were just talking about this a couple of days ago. Of course, there's so many people now, you know, on the spectrum with autism as well. The most important thing we can do is, instead of constantly trying to figure out ways to force them to live in our world, we have to recognize to some degree that they are in their world. And the more we can understand that, the more we can work together. The biggest misconception is that people with disabilities don't have a place in our world. They don't have something to offer, and that we just need to take care of them. Nothing could be further from the truth. Right. I've never met somebody with a disability that didn't have something to offer, something unique, a unique way of looking at things, or a certain skill to remember something. It could be a photographic memory. It could just be an obsession with a certain topic. Well, then they're an expert on that topic.
Right.
And we can find the right job for them. We can find the right place for them in this world. And maybe it takes a little more energy. Maybe they need a few more rides. Maybe they won't be able to drive themselves somewhere. But they have something to offer. My nephew has autism, and he is obsessed with washing machines. His mother found him a job where he tests used appliances and washing machines.
And he loves it.
And he gets to spend his days pushing the buttons on washing machines and making notes. And it's incredible. There's a job for everybody. Yes. There's a relationship for everybody.
And a place.
Yeah. And let me say that everyone I've ever known that's IDD, they're the most loving people. Yeah. I feel like they're the people that hold that key, that secret that the friggin' rest of the world needs to figure out.
Yeah, we need to slow down and take a note.
They love first. They're happy first.
Yeah.
You know,
their friendship is unconditional.
Yeah.
You nailed it. And so I think we all need to take a pause and spend more time supporting people with IDDs and getting in their world a little bit. We'd all be a little healthier if we could slow down. And my sister wanted three things in life. She wanted to live independently, and my parents helped get her to that point. She wanted to find love. She ended up married, very happily married. And she wanted to have meaningful employment, and Kroger gave her that in their bakery in the Green Hills store for over a decade. But that's
I probably saw her in there.
Joanne wanted. Oh, that's she probably sliced your bread and bagged your cookies. And Joanne wanted three things in life. How many people do you know that can honestly say they only have three things on their list?
Yeah.
When are filled with so much joy and love in those things, which is really at the end of the day what it's about. We let everything get so convoluted, and then they remind us what's really important.
When she achieved that the third thing, when I think about it, was the apartment, living on her own, and my mother picked her up from work and handed her the keys to her first apartment, and she said Joanne just gasped and went, "I have all three," and that was it. From that moment on, she was content. She never asked for anything else. And there's a lesson in all of that. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to say all that. Thank you. Thank you guys for even letting us come here and talk about Joanne and Hey JoJo. It means a lot.
Well, I think for both of us, when you reached out, I was like, I love the heart behind all of this. This is where it comes from. And that, you know me, heart and story. That's what I...
Yeah, and it's a connection as well.
And I know with what Hunter's gone through with his brother, and it's just...
I haven't mentioned my aunt, but my aunt actually has a developmental disability. She was hit by a bus when she was 8, so she had brain damage. And so she worked with Goodwill. So I grew up, we would go and just donate all of our stuff. She ran the Goodwill center in our town in Alabama. And so it taught me a lesson about like all your stuff can then be passed on. You know, I learned that from an early age because we'd just always, you know, it was right by the grocery store. So we'd just always stop and see Aunt Laura. You know,
that's so beautiful.
Yeah. So I hear
God bless
you on
Goodwill.
That. I hear you on that level. Oh, I know. Well, and all the treasures you can find.
I mean, all the treasures. I mean, especially at a Goodwill in Alabama,
and especially first Saturday of the month.
That's right.
Half off.
Oh, I should go. That's right. Over there.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that in so long.
Oh my God, I'm there all the time, girl. Call me.
Oh yeah, I got some great pieces.
Right.
Some anchor pieces in my wardrobe came from Goodwill. I would say.
I feel like Goodwill has all the best, like really worn-in sweatshirts that I just want to lounge in, or t-shirts.
You ever cut them up and make them look kind of 80s, kind of off the shoulder?
I'm not as fashionable as you in that sense. So no, I don't, but I could. I just hadn't thought about it.
You absolutely could. You know, before we move on though, Hunter, I do want to say, I'm really sorry about your brother. And
thank you.
I got you. And if you want to text me or call me at 3 a.m. and be like, I'm having a sibling missing moment, just call me, reach out.
It's really weird. And I think a lot of... A lot of the things I see going on that I know, especially in the news and what's going on in the world, that would have bothered David now bother me. And that's really been a struggle, because a lot of it I know is me missing him and being angry that his voice isn't here anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's complicated, but it's been a refocusing thing. I mean, I think I got more serious about what are my purposes and what do I want to bring into the world.
Yeah. I think that was going to be my next question for both of you. How, in going through losing a sibling, has it refocused kind of your purpose of what you feel like is really important and how you live your daily life now?
Yeah, you go first, Katie.
Well, Hey JoJo is giving me a way to keep Joanne's voice here. I think when Joanne was here, she was a big part of my life, and all my friends knew her. And I sort of felt like just being with Joanne, I was representing to the world every day.
Yeah.
Just don't forget people with disabilities and just include them and help them. Well, she's not here anymore. Mm-hmm. So I actually we have to find a way to keep her voice here. So this, you know, the song is a start, and it's giving me a chance to, you know, talk about her and how we need to handle people with disabilities and that they don't need a whole lot of handling. Just let love. Them do their thing. Just love them back. And there's a place for all of us. So I guess for me, it's going to be keeping her voice alive now that she's not physically present for me to help her through the world.
Oh, I think for me, it's also not being shy about mental illness and addiction.
Yeah.
And when I see any kind of thing in our society that marginalizes those people or puts them in danger, I think speaking out about that and doing what I can. I mean, there are things I do in private that I don't really want to talk about here.
Yeah, that's fine.
I feel like there are several things that I feel like, okay, I can't, when I see this playing out in our society, I can't divorce it from myself and my experience. And so now I also have the opioid crisis and what's going on. And so all of that now feels very personal. And It took my brother, and so I,
Adam, for you, just because, you know, you've married into the family, what were your favorite things about JoJo? Like, what did you learn from her in the time that you've known her?
Oh, it's just that she was so positive and so easy and didn't want for anything except some more food.
Oh, yeah, that was her big thing.
There's not a, you'd be hard pressed to find a picture of her without a little stain of food right on her lapel.
And so was there a Kroger employee discount?
Like those cookies. Kroger? Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's where there's a special place in my heart.
And
for
the fuel and the fuel points. Yeah.
She was just sweet. She was just the sweetest person. And like I said, you know, I'm not sure that anyone is, even you, has loved me more than she did. She just gave love to everybody she met.
And I hope you don't mind me bringing this up, but Adam's truly been my rock through all of this. He lost his brother when you were just 11 when Josh passed away. And, you know, yes, different circumstances, different ages, but losing a sibling is losing a sibling. And it does change you for the rest of your life. And just Adam was, he didn't hesitate to just completely turn into the rock for all of us through that.
Yeah. I didn't try. It just happened. I'm glad I could do it. Well, side note, she's born the same day, same year, and within the same hour as my brother.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, across the pond, of course. But
Wow.
We think that was a little bit of Josh going, hi, you guys should get together.
Yeah.
Here's a gift for you. Here's a little nugget of info in case you doubt it.
Yeah. So, and you know, I actually for years wanted to write a song about my brother and I've tried several times and I've never written one that I went, wow, that was it. It was delivered to me. It was always, that's all right. Yeah. You know, but I've had him come to me in ways like that.
Yeah.
So it's even Steven. JoJo gave us a song. Josh gave me a lot of messages. It's good.
And he maybe gave you me.
Well,
maybe.
That too.
Feels like a win.
It's a win. It's a win. And he gave you me.
Just in case you needed a reminder,
said that.
I love it. I love seeing both of you, you know, together and seeing the way that you are using your gifts to share JoJo's story and obviously how important she is to you and helping so many other people. And as Katie and I are looking at each other, we're both going to start crying, so it's fine. But I just, I think that's at the core of me. I love seeing people use their gifts to help other people. And so this is, it's so beautiful and it's so sweet. And I think I'm, I don't know if excited is the right word. I can't wait to see what comes of this and how many people are helped and lives are changed in really beautiful ways. So,
well, and you know, what's also beautiful about this is, you know, a lot of people have charities that they donate to because it's a write-off and they need a charity to be associated with. And I've even had moments where I thought, okay, maybe I could get involved with this charity and maybe that would help launch this music and da-da-da-da-da. But this isn't like that. Yeah. This was completely delivered to us and Katie especially from JoJo.
Yeah.
And this is truly something that is real.
Yeah, I felt like a no-brainer.
That's what sets it apart to me.
Came along. Thank you guys for letting us talk about it.
Oh my gosh. Of course. We love having y'all.
I didn't know it was going to get so emotional.
Oh, well, no, I knew.
Is there any other fun things?
I knew. That's why I was like, let's talk about all the other things we want to talk about before we get into that, because it's just so, it's so personal. And I'm writing about my brother a lot. I think there's a book. I started interviewing a lot of the people who knew him, and I'm glad I have that. But at first I was all like, I'm just going to do a podcast about fentanyl and all this stuff. And I was like, no, I'm just not ready. It's too raw. But it's shown up in other ways. Yeah.
Because I think there has to be some distance and some healing some.
But we did.
This time is okay.
For the anniversary of his death, instead of like just sitting around, we went over to England for the first time.
I saw your pictures from England.
Which was so fun. I did want to ask you about some British questions.
Are we going to talk about baked beans at breakfast?
No. Okay. So because the movie...
You'll learn to love them. Trust me.
It's one of the first things Hunter talked about when he got back, and we were cracking up. I was like, I mean, I love baked beans. Exactly.
I didn't do it because we were on buses a lot, and I didn't trust myself.
We were texting the other morning about breakfast, and I said, I wish they had baked beans. She was proud of me.
You've been converted.
She was proud of me.
No, so we were watching, since the movie Bohemian Rhapsody is coming out last night, I watched for the first time ever Queen's performance at Live Aid at Wembley Stadium. And so I was like, talking to Clint, my boyfriend, I was like, what if we like could leave from there and then go over to Harrods in 1985 and then Selfridges in 1985? Like, I just would love to be in a time warp and go back to like what they look like there.
I was living in London in 1985.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a good year.
I'm because Tina Turner was there making Private Dancer.
Oh, she would not leave me alone.
I know.
Oh,
she was all like,
so hard.
She was all like, Katie Cook, what do you think of my new album, Private Dancer? I think this is the first time I've done my Tina impression on the podcast,
That's
but it won't be
really
the last.
That's really good.
I have been doing it for many years.
Katie, bring me my wig.
I got so. Oh my gosh, so what was Harrods like in 1985? Did you go in?
Fabulous. Well,
I'm just obsessed with
that story. I was a scrappy little punk in
1985. You were a punk, so you were probably
like...
So
they would follow me around Harrods because, you know, they were like, we don't trust you and you definitely don't have the money to eat in the food court here. So
so what are you doing in the fancy pan section?
What the heck are you doing in here? I love it. We're actually taking all three kids to England for Christmas, and I told them, we have to go into Harrods. You have to see it all.
Broke.
It's lit up all the time,
right.
But it's especially lit up for Christmas. So
it's just like Macy's in New York. I haven't been to London.
Yes, so. But even kind of bigger, older, and grander.
And more expensive.
Over the top.
There was a couch.
We do love over the top in here.
There was a couch
that cost £30,000, which would be about $50,000.
Heavens.
Yeah.
Grief.
So I was just like, wow, that's crazy.
What are your England questions?
Oh, really? What I already asked them, what was Harrods like in 1985?
Oh, okay.
We went really deep on this one.
I was just like, I know we were getting to something.
No,
I mean, he's going to ask me how Parliament operates and all this stuff. And
how do you feel about Meghan Markle?
No, that was like Margaret Thatcher.
I love her.
Love her. Yeah, no, it was. Yes, I love Meghan Markle.
I mean, I'll confess, I did cry when Prince Harry and Meghan announced that they were pregnant. I was like, why do I love them so much? Like,
no, that was crazy.
I also could have been like hormonal or something at that point. Let's be real. Yeah. But I'm just saying.
They're lovely.
They're lovely.
I think it's wonderful.
Lucy was in here with us right after Hunter got back from England. So it was hysterical. Because there was like nine. Hunter had a lot of questions about baked beans.
And about the queen. Great. Like, how do you see her?
Yeah.
Because we don't really have an equivalent here in America.
Yeah, well, she's kind of dedicated her entire life to, right. I think, a very difficult job.
She's a steadying presence.
I will tell you, my grandfather was not a fan of the royals. And if they even came on the television in his Bristolian accent, it'd be like, oh, you don't like them. Are you, I'm going in the kitchen. I'm not going to watch this. I mean, like, just like, had nothing to do with them.
Today are on point.
They don't pay taxes.
Her accent, take our money.
Yeah, well, Bristolians talk like pirates. That's really, truly. So I didn't know what to think of him growing up. But then as I got older, I was like, man, I wouldn't want that job. That's really hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, my big thing is I couldn't travel the world and eat food in other cultures and not be in danger of needing to spit it out into my napkin. And they have to stay awake, like, you know, during like symphonies and stuff. I couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it.
It's really hard work. I couldn't.
Yeah. Always need the napkin option for food.
Right. Like, oh, monkey brains. Love it. You know, so.
Oh, that's what, I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah, no, that's my biggest fear.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, I'll be in a foreign country and I can't piss off the leaders and they've served up, you know.
I have another brief.
That happened to me in Russia.
What did you eat in Russia?
I don't remember exactly what it was, but there were two things. There was one, and I was doing mission work over there. So this was, I was 19, I guess, and we lived there for a summer in Yekaterinburg. In the Europe-Asia border. Anyway, not the point of my story. So they basically told us, like, when you go in to anybody's house, you have to eat whatever they offer you. And I don't remember what somebody offered me at one point, but you also have to drink whatever. Like, they're automatically going to offer you vodka.
Yeah.
And you have to drink. Like, you have to take it. If you reject it, it's very offensive.
I would do very well in Russia.
Yeah.
But keep going.
Yes, you did.
Like, we drank the vodka and whatever we ate. I remember just this one house. I'm like, I can't remember what it was, but I just remember being like, oh.
It's like, I'll take more vodka.
Just take it down. Right, yeah. Right.
So I can forget what I just ate.
The cultural differences.
Well, vodka should wash it all out.
It did help.
Yeah.
It did help. But there was also this thing, great meat that they used to make called shashlik, if you end up in Russia, by the train station, these guys will just make it and it's just like these huge slabs of meat and it was really good.
I have one more British question.
Okay.
Did you ever?
Hunter is over.
Enough about your Russian
enough
meat.
Enough about Russia. We're back to England.
We're all going to end up in Russia soon anyway.
Did you ever see Kate Bush in concert or in person?
I wish we were literally talking about Kate Bush an hour and a half. We're in sync.
Kate Bush is in the air.
She wrote Wuthering Heights when she was like 17 or 18 years old. I never saw her live. Well, of course, she went away.
She went away, yeah.
Yeah. And just kind of disappeared for like 30 years or something. I would give anything to meet her and see her.
I just wondered.
Did you?
No. I'm a recent convert to Kate.
Oh, okay.
And it's really been exciting. But she was the person in my head earlier when I asked about synthesizers in the 80s. Because I actually prefer her, like, Hounds of Love into that era.
Oh, yeah.
I prefer that.
Yeah. And her work with Peter Gabriel and everything. She's so amazing.
The Sensual World. They're releasing all those on vinyl if anybody wants to give those as a gift. If you've enjoyed the podcast, send us the Kate Bush vinyl.
We'll post our P.O. box. And if you'd like to send Hunter a present for Christmas.
And if you'll send me a copy, I'll put on the leotard, the weird wood nymph thing she did in the Wuthering Heights video. And I'll do that weird ballet interpretive dance that she did. I'll video myself doing that.
Yeah, just got a record.
Okay. Well,
I thought you said something. What? Moving along.
On that note.
Do you have any more Russian meat stories?
I was trying to
relate. Otherwise, we'll wrap it up.
Hashtag Russian meat stories.
I will say, 3 weeks in, we went to Moscow, and I've never been so excited to see a McDonald's in my entire life. So.
Okay.
Just, Hunter's like, and we're done.
Thank you, Katie Cook and Adam Schoenfeld, for coming collectively.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you all for coming.
Thank you, Hunter and Ashley, so much for giving us this time. Yes.
Much love. Thank you.
Hunter, I cannot believe you said, do you have any more Russian meat stories?
Well, I just said, never. You know, I was just like, we're talking about Russian meat, which I've never had. So if you're listening,
just trying to relate to the international travel,
international flavor. So if you're listening, we would love Katie and I want Kate Bush vinyl and also Russian meat for Ashley.
my gosh. Also, sorry, I just snorted, and you're welcome.
Yeah.
We will not edit that out. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. Make sure you go listen to the song Hey JoJo from Suncat, from Katie and Adam.
All the proceeds go to a really great cause. You can find them at Suncat, S-U-N-K-A-T, music.com. So for an entire year, all the proceeds are going to the ARC.
The ARC, right, which is an organization that helps people with developmental disabilities. And it's just such a beautiful thing to see Katie and Adam using their gifts and their story and just... that relationship and the impact that JoJo has made on their lives and seeing just using those gifts to help other people. And to me, that's such a beautiful thing. So we hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, go check it out. Thank you for being here with us. You can find us on social media at all our favorite people. You can find me at Ashley Eicher. You can find Hunter at Nashville HK. Your dog is still
Billy snoring. Yeah. Bless his heart. Oh,
it's like we should have a chorus of Billy snoring at some point. Blooper reel.
Yeah, and if you love the sounds of a Shih Tzu snoring, go rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows, wherever you're listening to this right now.
If you're still with us.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next week.